Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, spread, totals, player props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
I'm Dr. Mary Claire Haver, and my new podcast, Unpaused, is the place for bold, unfiltered conversations about what it takes for women to thrive in the second half of life. Listen to and follow Unpaused, available now wherever you get your podcasts.
Dude. I guess you've got a point there.
This is Sports Sunday.
Hey, Skid Mark Steve.
Hey, dude.
You still just hanging out playing Nintendo?
Well, if you must know, I'm in my second year of med school, and I'm training for the summer games.
What are you two up to?
Just hanging out, playing Nintendo.
A recap of the sports week, a preview of today's games, and next week's big stories.
Do you think Shaq got rich playing in Orlando? Hardly. He made his fortune moving to L.A. You know how much he makes now?
As much as he made playing in college?
What? No.
Now, here are Rashad Taylor and Joe Fisher.
What happened out there?
You know, it was a team effort, and I guess it took every player working together to lose this one.
Thanks, Doug. And so...
Hey, want to do an interview with me?
No.
With Sports Sunday on the Odyssey app and 1080 The Fan.
Bob, in all my years of calling games, I don't think I've ever been this excited.
You're excited? Feel these nipples.
Welcome back in Hour 2 of Sports Sunday here on Sports Radio 1080 The Fan, a Schultzy and Rashad Taylor edition of Sports Sunday. Joe Fisher out having some fun in Central Oregon, enjoying the sun, enjoying Mother's Day, and we are stuck in this stuffy studio with each other, Rashad, talking sports.
I'm all good with it.
Are you sure?
Yeah, man, it's cool. It's roomy in here. There's nobody here. I can put my feet up if I want to. I'm so comfortable, I don't even have a TV on in here.
Oh, wow. I like that. So you're not even like just trying to like kind of ignore me and
no,
just watch something else in the background.
I'm chilling
I appreciate
right
that.
Now. And there's nothing on that I want to watch. So
there's probably some good baseball on. But yeah, that's the thing with the.
I said what I said, man. Like it is May 12th. May 12th.
You're not a baseball guy yet.
No, that's not. I don't think that's the thing. It's baseball for me and basketball are kind of in a similar wheelhouse in the sense that. Like, I don't care about basketball before the All-Star break.
Okay.
I really don't care about it until we get, like, maybe 2 months, you know, closer to maybe the playoffs or something like that. So it's tough for me to care about baseball on May 12th. We've seen a lot
Long
of teams
seasons.
Being first placed at this time. And then when we get closer to late July, early August, it's... That team is fighting for their lives, you know, for the most part, even just to, you know, try to make the playoffs or try to get that. Oh, what's it? Not a play-in game. What are we calling the baseball?
It's the wild card.
The wild card.
The wild card round.
The wild card round.
You've basically now got an expanded three-team wild card. One of the top team makes it to play the winner of one of the other divisions, and then the final two wildcard teams basically battle it out for one of those spots against a division winner. So you've essentially kind of like the NBA play-in, you've got three teams playing for two spots at the end of the season. And I guess some would argue that that's the only way that the Mariners made the playoffs and ended their drought for the first time in 20-plus years. So technically, they didn't actually end their drought, but I do think expanded playoffs are something that are fun, except... for the NBA's case, because I don't like the 10th team in the Western or the Eastern Conference being able to compete for a spot. I think that's kind of asinine. I think it really kind of muddies up the results, and I think in a few years we're going to see some really crappy teams getting to places just because they played better at the right time than they should have.
So. Yeah, and honestly, that's all playoff sports is about, is who gets hot at the right time. You know,
it's true.
Look at football, baseball, basketball. Typically, the team that's playing the best going into the playoffs is the team who wins the World Series, the Super Bowl, the Larry O'Brien Trophy. It doesn't really matter. I'm a Patriots fan, so I can remember the Giants going on like an 8-game win streak to end the season. And it happened to ride into the playoffs. And they were feeling so good because they were in a position to where if they lose one more game, like, their year is over. Like, mm-hmm. So they were already in win or go home mode. They were already in playoff mode. So every game mattered that much to them. So by the time they got to the Patriots in the Super Bowl, it was just another game for them at that point.
And essentially you're saying that this is only really when you want to watch, which is kind of near the end of the season for baseball and basketball, which, I mean, that's like right now for the NBA, and you're talking September, I would assume. August, maybe? You're kind of end of September guy for MLB, because that's about a week or so before the playoffs start.
Right. So you're like you want to watch spring games and stuff like that for in baseball. You want to watch spring training.
Oh, God, yeah. My dad and I have not been able to do this yet, but we're planning here very soon a trip down to Peoria, Arizona to watch some Mariners spring training games. Not because, like, I care about their success at that point. It's just being around the vibe, you know, being around the Seattle Mariners.
No, going to spring training is one thing. Like, that's not a problem. It's in any Arizona city, you're going to be good. Like, yeah, sign me up. But I'm asking there's a Mariners spring training game on route. I'm going to hang out and watch this. Are you going to do that?
Yeah.
No, oh, you're such a nerd.
Yeah, I'm gonna hang around and I'm gonna crack a Miller High Life open, and I'm absolutely gonna watch Seattle Mariners spring training game, nerd. Brother.
I'm not doing that. I get excited for like preseason football only because I know like the season is starting. So yeah. Preseason's here. That means in a couple weeks we get actual football.
Yeah.
You know, so but even still, I don't watch any preseason games. Could care less.
Well, hey, and that is why the NFL, for instance, is most likely going to go down to a 2-game preseason and then expand the regular season to 18 games. I'm not surprised.
Which is dumb. Like, it's but
you don't like that.
No, I don't like an 18. Like, I feel like at this point, and I catch a lot of flack.
They're not going to take a game off the schedule, Rashad.
No, I feel
that's
at
money.
This point, like, there needs to be all the records that have been set in the NFL need to be set aside, and now we need to start over. Because now you're talking about people breaking passing records, rushing records, sack records, tackle records, whatever the case is.
Yeah.
And they've gotten 2 extra games to do it. So,
okay.
Now, see, mind you, are they like, they're
you're really believing that this is a lot of extra time for them?
That's two games is a grip of time. Like, we see quarterbacks now that can throw for 400 yards in a game.
Okay.
Just on a good day against it. So we've seen teams do that. So, have a couple games where a quarterback throws total of 700 yards, like, man, 350 each game. And, yeah, they might only need X amount of yards to break this record. Or, yeah, I think it's
like
different.
5,000-6,000 is kind of the tops for
like one game's like, okay, like some guys miss a game. So, like, that's fair. You add a game to the season, okay. But you add in 2 games to the season, that's a lot of football to be played.
Okay, so this is very similar to the old baseball argument of 146 games to 162 game season. That old, you know, Babe Ruth record to Roger Maris with more games. That, you know, that argument that he actually wasn't the home run king for a while until eventually Mark McGwire, I think, absolutely put a stamp in that conversation and ended it, because the rate that he was hitting home runs during his 70 home run season, and I believe Barry obviously even topped that further with beating Mark McGwire, the rate was higher over 146 game season. But what you're saying is that there should be a new
record
book.
I mean,
started
like I said,
right now.
I catch a lot of crap for that, and I understand why. You know, you're essentially changing everything. But like, I don't know. Like in the NBA, I believe it's always been 82 games. So I can't be like mad you're not taking games away or adding games for people to break records. Like, LeBron broke that record, the scoring record, in the same amount of time that it took Kareem to break, because they all played 82 games, I believe. Now, I don't know if they played less in the 60s. I'm not sure how many Bill Russell played per year.
I'm assuming most of those guys were true Ironmen. And I mean, I know Bill Walton like fought through injuries, but even the years that like he was injured, he played probably closer to like 60 games as compared to like a Bill Russell. I mean, he played constantly. So I think guys like him, Wilt, they played in all 82. That's kind of the argument now, like the Ironmen and the superstars of the NBA back then compared to now. I mean, up to the 90s, they actually played 82 games a season.
Yeah, so there were 82 games then. And so like, if the season all of a sudden went to 100 games or to 90 games and LeBron broke that record, we'd look at it differently. Like, yeah, he did it, but, you know, he needed 9 more games a season for 20 years to be able to do it. Like, that's it's a little weird. So when you're talking about these records that we hold really near and dear, Jerry Rice's touchdown record, you know, like it was receiving records and stuff like that. Like, yeah, you give somebody a great receiver 2 more years at it, or two more games at it per year. You're giving Travis Kelce and Mahomes 2 additional games to break Brady and Gronk's records and stuff. Like, they were already doing it, but now you give them 2 additional games to do it. Like, yeah, that's going to be helpful.
I mean, Frank Gore, if he had a couple of extra games this season, probably would have ended up beating Walter Payton and Emmitt Smith on the all-time rushing list. Oh, absolutely
would end up beating them. So. And so that's what I'm saying. So
it's a decent point. I'm not sure I 100% agree with it, but I see the angle and why you would strongly consider that.
Yeah, I think those records should be for that time, because if you're going to change the rules that really impact stats, because I think that would be a thing. Like, these rules would impact, or these additional games would definitely impact stats.
I mean, and then you think of the NBA adding the 3-point line. Because, see, I don't think of added games in the NBA. There was a big change, in my opinion, in, I think it was the late 70s, when they added the 3-point line to the NBA.
Yeah. Have you ever heard that George Gervin talking about Klay Thompson going off for 30-something and a quarter, and there was, like, you know, but the record prior to that was George Gervin's. Mm-hmm. And so
without threes.
Yeah, without threes. And then they're talking about, he was like, yeah, they're saying Klay broke my record. He said, he didn't break my record. Wasn't no 3-point line then. So I got all my points from 2-pointers and from jumpers with no 3-pointer. He didn't break my record. Like, and which is, I mean, not true, but you add a 3-point line and yeah, you're giving yourself an additional point, you know, in some regards. Like, so yeah, I think there are some records that should be kind of separated, because I think it matters now.
On the Vancouver Ford text line, did you know that the 70s in the NFL, they played 6 preseason games? And yeah, that was, I believe, a 14-game season, because the, you know, the Miami Dolphins, the Super Bowl, the 14-0 Dolphins, that were the only undefeated team in history, but only did it with 14 regular season games. So that's kind of what the NFL's been doing. They had 14-6, then they went to 16-4. Now we're at 17-3, and it looks like we're going to go to 18-2 here soon. And I'm not surprised. We're not taking a game off the schedule. We're just removing it from the useless schedule. And frankly, teams don't need 4 games to get ready anyways. Those 2 are perfect to evaluate, you know, some of the younger talent, some of the position battles that you've got going, where those final special teams guys need to be filled at. Like, that,
I think those should be games for, you're a rookie, you're trying to make the team.
Yeah.
You know, if you're a veteran, like, I don't think we need to see Patrick Mahomes play in his preseason game.
A series. I think he needs to get his feet wet, just call, you know, get out for a series.
That's what practice is for. You know, because you know Patrick Mahomes is going to make the team, right? Yeah. We're aware that all the number ones of every team is going to make the team. I think the preseason games are great opportunities to scout your younger guys, your practice guys, like who in a game situation is a gamer, because we know a lot of guys are just practice players, but then they get on the field during the game and they're a whole different beast. So I think it's a good opportunity to figure that out, and might even cause less injuries for those cats that are out there playing during preseason.
Look at us slipping a tiny bit of football talk in today. This has been so basketball heavy.
Yeah, that's so easy, especially when we have talked about it for a while. Like, we can talk football for the next hour. We really could.
I mean, we could, but there's so much NBA going on that it's like with the local stuff.
And
with
it's the
Blazers
one time
too.
Of the NBA that people actually care.
Yeah, it's like 2 weeks after the NFL draft. I still love breaking down, you know, all these post draft grades and seeing where these undrafted free agents are actually going to make an impact, because it's fun to see, like, guys signed right now this time of year. You hear about them, you know, week 7, week 8, you're picking them up on your fantasy squad as like a late waiver wire ad. I love this time in the NFL, but yeah, it's just too busy in the NBA right now. And we didn't even get to the Chauncey Billups stuff that I want to get to here in this next segment. So we're going to do that. Chauncey Billups, is he possibly being shadow fired by the Portland Trail Blazers? What the heck is going on in that front office? Sports Sunday, Schulte.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365.
Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
I'm Dr. Mary Claire Haver, and my new podcast, Unpaused, is the place for bold, unfiltered conversations about what it takes for women to thrive in the second half of life. Listen to and follow Unpaused, available now wherever you get your podcasts.
And Shot Edition here on 1080 The Fan. Trouble in the Portland Trailblazers front office?
What else is new?
No, right? Every time I bring that up, every time I even utter a whisper of that, I'm talked down by very happy Blazers fans. Like, no, we're doing the tank. We've got a plan here in Portland. Okay, this is a plan that you came up with after trading the best player to come into your franchise in 10 years and possibly the best one of all time, top 75 NBA player of all time. Okay, you trust these peoples?
Am I the only one that just feels like a tank job is just not what we should be doing? Like, I feel like, honestly,
I think
and
Chauncey
I've said this before.
Said it too.
I've said this before. I feel like you've got talent. Let's see what they can do when they're healthy. Let's give it the old college try. And if they suck and if they're not able to compete like that, then I don't know. I'm not ready to really punt on this team just yet because we haven't seen what they look like on the floor together since like the first or second game of the season. Like, well, so it's tough for me to do that, but I do know that changes are afoot.
Well, unfortunately, yeah, Chauncey Billups might not get to see a situation in which you're talking about, Rashad, where the roster is healthy and you get a complete 12-man roster.
Did you say unfortunately?
Night in and night out. Unfortunately
for who?
You said Chauncey, you said that there is a situation where the team is going to be healthy, and I guess maybe unfortunately for Chauncey.
Oh, okay.
That's more so
yeah.
What I was thinking.
I was going to say, unfortunately for Blazer fan or for Chauncey?
I know a lot of Blazers fans are calling for Chauncey Billups' job, as I think a lot of people think they should. Some, and I call them detractors out there, say, hey, he hasn't had a healthy roster, which you just pointed out. I'm not saying you're a detractor. What I'm saying is that seems to be the main argument from people that are defending Chauncey is like, hey, he's never had what he came to Portland to get, which is fair, but this is a first-time head coach now, years into his first contract, and you gotta judge the merit of something, right? You haven't seen much development, you know, from guys. We've seen 15, 20-game chunks like Scoot at the end of the season. I think the best story that we got for the Blazers this year was Jabari Walker, and that leads us to this offseason madness. A tweet from Sports Illustrated Chris Mannix this week talking about Chauncey Billups and some rumors in Portland. This is a quote from SI's Chris Mannix. Teams monitoring Chauncey Billups' situations in Portland, league sources telling SI now. The Blazers rebuilding and just parted ways with two assistants, including Billups' brother Rodney, the other one being lead assistant Scotty Brooks. And that one, to me, was a little surprising. Scotty Brooks was the most experienced person on the staff, coached the Wizards, coached the Thunder. You feel like that's kind of the voice of reason. That was Chauncey's right-hand guy, so I was surprised that they would let him go without letting Chauncey go. But the quote continues, if Portland and Billups split, Billups would quickly emerge as a candidate for other jobs. Now,
no, he wouldn't.
Yeah, let's take a look at this statement in two parts here. First, the part about the trouble in Portland possibly being the teams monitoring that situation revolving, you know, the Trailblazers and Chauncey Billups possibly moving on after two coaches of his were let go. And we talked about it a little bit. I called it like a drive-by firing earlier on in the show because essentially this is what organizations do when they don't want to fire a coach. They fire the guys next to him. And it really is, it seems like they're dead, they're gone, because there was no indication from the front office beforehand. I doubt that Chauncey had heard up to that point, you know, hey, you've got to let a couple of guys go. I would assume that they're giving him the support that he needs, at least he believes that he needs, up to hearing, no, actually, we need to have a couple of changes. I'm not a fly on that wall. I'm not as connected as like Danny Morang into that organization. You know, I'm sure he knows more than I do about the conversations that Joe Cronin and Chauncey Billups are having. But to me, it seemed like there wasn't really much trouble until that first press conference of the offseason, Rashad, which is when, you heard Chauncey Billups talking about, well, you know, I do believe, kind of like you said, if we have a healthy team next year, I'm interested to see what this roster can actually do, and I believe we can compete for a play-in. And then in the next breath, GM Joe Cronin is saying, we're not as talented as we need to be. We've got to go get more pieces, and we're still lacking in some parts of our team. It was literally two different statements, and that would lead me to believe that the support that I'm talking about Chauncey, you know, believing that he has, all of a sudden disappearing a week before, or a week after the offseason leading up to that final press conference that we just saw from them. So you wonder, along with this Chris Mannix quote, Rashad, just at least this first part, we'll get into the emerging as a candidate for other jobs, because I think that's laughable in just a second. But what do you make, Rashad, of the Blazers not firing Chauncey Billups, but getting rid of a couple of his assistants instead as a warning?
I don't know if it's a warning. I think it's a precursor. Like, we're going to make you uncomfortable.
Yeah.
We're going to make sure we take away your brother.
Yeah, Rodney Billups was his
brother.
Brother,
yeah. And we're going to make sure we take
is away his brother was top, his brother a top on assistant the staff.
Who, yeah. Honestly, if I'm being real, should probably be the one that's coaching this team,
yeah.
And that's Scottie Brooks.
Yeah.
And so there's I don't buy the whole narrative that Chauncey is up for other jobs. I feel like there are other people that are currently jobless. Frank Vogel, right? Guys like
LA can bring him back.
Budenholzer, who's still, you know, I think he's rumored to be.
Oh no, that has been finalized.
Has he finalized?
Okay, he is the new coach of the Phoenix Suns. Okay. Already working to hire assistants, according to Matt Ishiba.
Scott Brooks is one of those guys that would be a better head coach at this point than Chauncey. Even somebody like David Fitzdale, who's an assistant now,
yeah.
You know, for Phoenix. But I don't even, probably not an assistant for Phoenix anymore, considering. I'm sure Coach Bud is going to have his own regime that he's going to bring
former Memphis, former New York head guy, yeah.
Yeah, but I think there are people that are out there that are, number one, more experienced than Chauncey, and I think you're looking for lightning in a bottle again that you had with guys like Jason Kidd. I'm trying to think of another great player that ended up being a head coach, Larry Bird. But the list is short. Isaiah Thomas for a short while. The list is super.
Why aren't you adding
short.
Doc to that list? I'm kidding.
Yeah, exactly.
I'm being a jerk.
But I don't know. I feel like
circle back around to Nate McMillan, right?
I mean, why not? Like, why not? I think Nate would be a person that would be great for coaching this team.
Yeah, he's available
at this point. He is available. He does have some experience with winning, and especially winning here. You know, he knows how to play with a great player that he had in Brandon Roy.
It's actually not that I throw that out there as a crazy suggestion, but now that I actually ruminate on it for 5 seconds in my brain, I'm like, it's better than Chauncey.
I mean, there are certain guys that aren't coaching anymore. Like, I mean, would it be wrong to give Stotts a call now?
Exactly.
Do you at least want to interview at this point?
I don't think he would. I think personally for him, It's a middle finger because of the way that situation was handled. They can publicly state that, you know, there's no animosity, but he was the fall guy. He was made to be the fall guy by Neil O'Shea. And anybody connected with Neil O'Shea that still works here, Joe Cronin worked under him, I don't believe that's ever going to happen. Although I would like to see that. That's something, once again, another situation that would be much better than Chauncey Billups. But the interesting thing here, before we move on to the lack of interest, I believe, on other teams, or from other teams in Chauncey Billups around the league, is the fact that the whole situation happening in the front office is a major problem. Because here's what you got, Rashad. You've essentially got possibly a shadow firing happening in Portland, which is essentially where a team doesn't really have the spine to actually make the move they need to make. They're trying to make Chauncey Billups nervous. At least, allegedly, I feel like that's what's happening. And then all of a sudden, they're just going to, with making him nervous, kind of force him out. And then, of course, you see the quote from SI's Chris Mannix talking about the interest around the league from other teams in Chauncey. I do believe that's from his camp because they know Portland's putting the pressure on them. So it's frustrating to me that fans have been calling for Chauncey Billups' head all season, essentially, and Portland just kind of tries to kick the can down the road a little bit. They don't want to make the decision, in my opinion, that actually needs to be made. Just do it, get it done. But they're just kind of lingering around, walking around the edges, hoping that it'll just take care of itself. And that right there, in my opinion, is the perfect example of how not to run any kind of sports organization.
I mean, hey, at this point, changes need to be made. I don't know how much of this roster you can flip and turn into something else. The roster is probably the one thing that's going to stay the same. I think you need a new messenger. Chauncey at this point is not it. And Chauncey is a Hall of Fame player now. He is an NBA champion. He is one of the best, maybe 115, 120 guys that's ever played, you know, in the NBA. So taking nothing away from what he's been able to accomplish as a player in both the NBA and in college. But as a coach, to this point, it hasn't worked. And that's okay. Like, it's just not okay for us, but it's okay for him as he's still getting his feet wet as a head coach. So for Chauncey, I'll say, man, obviously congratulations on your induction to the Basketball Hall of Fame. But for now, as a head coach, you're not the guy. And that's what I know. I bang on Chauncey a lot, but I always want to keep in mind that he is one of the greatest to ever play, right? And so it should be noted. But as a coach right now, sometimes great players don't equate to great coaches.
Do you hear Chauncey being linked to the Los Angeles Lakers job? Like, very, very quietly, of course, on Twitter. And it's probably just more like wishes and whispers coming from fans that are kind of making it out there. I can't believe that would ever happen. I mean, there's some crazy ones, though. I've heard J.J. Redick, ESPN analyst, connected to the Lakers head coaching vacancy. That would be nuts with no experience. Washington Wizards, maybe they could bring Chauncey in. I don't see the interest there around the league. I'm shocked that anybody, after such a bad tenure, you know, even with the healthy Damian Lillard, I understand that the roster wasn't quite complete even in the first halves of the season that he was healthy, but they didn't always play well, and they didn't always adjust when they needed to. Dude didn't call a timeout to slow a rundown at like any point in his first two seasons as head coach. That was a problem for me. I get there's a learning curve, but he was brought in to take Damian Lillard to the finals, and now he's going to be a developmental coach for some reason. So, gosh, even with Portland not knowing what to do with him or what their roster is going to be, that means that any other team knows what he could do and coach their roster that's more complete than theirs? That makes no sense, Rashad. It makes no sense.
I don't know. I just, whatever it is, there needs to be a change. That's the easiest change you can make because that's something that everybody sees is not working.
You're not wrong. We'll see what happens if this ends up being a shadow firing or if Chauncey Billups actually ends up coaching the Portland Trail Blazers game one of the 2024-25 season. All right, just lots of basketball. Let's stick to it. Kind of going back into the playoffs a little bit, but I want to talk about Rudy Gobert missing game two against the Denver Nuggets. It did not affect the Timberwolves. They won that game two against the Nuggets. They actually lost after Rudy Gobert came back in game three. But I more so want to talk about highly paid athletes. Like, we're talking $30, $40, $50 million guys missing games at the peak. We're talking playoffs. We're talking, you know, I don't know if it's an NBA Finals game, if he wouldn't have missed it as compared to a second round game. Let's talk about the level of importance of these games and if these guys that make this much money should be missing those games for the birth of a child. Yeah, we're going to talk about it on the dude's side. Everybody has always given women grief for missing time. I don't want to give women grief. I think moms should be home. There's literal reasons why they need to be home. Rudy Gobert, not so much. Let's talk about him missing game two, coming back after this sports update. Coming in hot this next segment, Rashad. I don't want to upset anybody out there, but I do think that this is a conversation worth having about the game two absence of Rudy Gobert from the Minnesota Timberwolves-Denver Nuggets series. That game four will be being played today. Series continuing at 5 p.m. on TNT. The T-Wolves do lead that 2-1, but no Rudy Gobert in game two. He missed it for the birth of his child. Now, that is a situation, Rashad, and I guess I need to set this conversation up like this, that is a situation that, you know, all parents, of course, it's, I believe it was the first kid for them, all parents, you know, wait for, hope for, my wife and I want to have kids. That is the top, right? Like the top situation for any parent. The birth of your child for a lot of people is the best day of their lives, at least hopefully. It's what we hear. So I would assume that that is, you know, the sentiment amongst most of these athletes that are missing games. And I guess I understand when, you know, there's a situation maybe like during the regular season where you want to miss a game to go do that. I got to separate, Rashad, who these guys are in the playoffs as like superstar, highly paid athletes at the top of the entertainment world missing that game as compared to, you know, somebody like you or I making a regular amount of money, doesn't really have the same kind of options, can't fly on a private jet, you know, to and from anywhere. Like there's so many things that, like, as a, you know, middle class person trying to make it to see your kid's birth, it's understandable. But when you are Rudy Gobert making $41 million a year, I question it. I question that in one of the most impactful games and playoff series for the Minnesota Timberwolves in how long? I mean, did Kevin Garnett ever get them this far in the playoffs? Maybe once? Maybe twice? I hear that he needs to be present and that it's a good thing and that statistically dads there for the birth of their kid make it so much better as a family unit. And the example that he can set for doing that is a big deal.
But
he is a superstar athlete, or at least is paid.
How dare you have kids?
At least is paid. I'm not talking about that. I'm talking about what he does for his day job. And there are some day jobs out there that, in my opinion, and that I believe the ones that are out there that I'm talking about that supersede these kinds of events are the ones where you're making not $5 million, not $10 million, but tens of millions of dollars, Rashad. He literally takes home after taxes right around 20 mil. That's not counting his endorsement deals. No, not forbid you to have kids in that situation, but you live a different life. You live a different life than all of us.
I'll be honest, man.
And I don't see it. Don't see why you would give that up. You got to be at the game and then hustle back as soon as you can. You can make that flight after the game, not before. I get that, obviously, the birth of a child is fluid. You don't know when it's going to happen. You don't know where. You can't carry your pregnant wife on a plane with you everywhere. I understand that. But on the other side of it, Rashad, it just irks me. It does. And I'm sorry. I'm a jerk, but it irks me.
Yeah, you're a little high-strung, bro.
Oh, God. I'm high-strung.
There are a lot of things that I, you know, if he'd have lost a pet or if he'd have...
He lost a pet.
You know, like, if there was something else, you know, happening, but if someone would have died, we wouldn't have questioned it, right? Oh, man. Mom passed, wife passed, daughter passed.
And Brett Favre played in a regular season game 2 days after his dad.
Brett Favre cheated people out of $8 million of money.
You're not wrong.
You talk about POSs. Brett Favre is one of the biggest ones in the world. So don't really care about, you know, about that part. That was courageous. That was a great game. But doesn't really matter. Here's a guy who's pretty much done everything since the COVID thing the right way. And honestly, I think the COVID thing has everything to do with it.
Okay.
He's still public enemy number one because in a lot of people's head, Rudy Gobert is who spread the COVID virus. He didn't take it seriously, any of that stuff. He's easy to pick on. Mind you, it's a dude that's consistently been the last pick in the All-Star game for multiple years. People don't like Rudy Gobert still. And for people to bang on him for missing a game two of the NBA playoffs, not the finals, not the conference finals, game two, correct me if I'm wrong, but the series has never been won in game two.
That's so you're saying it's an earlier series game. If we were talking like game six, seven, or seven.
Okay. Game, okay. Like I could see you playing there, or you're on the verge of elimination. You're down 3-2. Okay. Yeah. You definitely need to play in game six. You need to be there. We need to figure this out.
Yeah.
We're talking about a game two. After game one, they blew them out by almost 30. Game two, they blew them out by even more.
No, and I do acknowledge that they did not need him to win game two.
And so I'm kind of like, people are banging on somebody for being present as a dad, for being present and seeing my what could be my only son or my only daughter's birth. Now let's, and I don't mean to go dark here, but let's say something weird happens.
Something
bad
happens.
We're knocking on wood, and something happens to the baby.
Yeah.
Something happens for his wife. And he was playing in the game instead of being there with his family. That's insane to me
that
we are sitting here questioning the dude who missed game two of the semifinal round of against a team that was blown out, you know, by his team. It's like, yo, what are we talking about here? Like, I'm so confused. And now we're questioning this dude who's won Defensive Player of the Year four times, put an asterisk next to it because I think that this award should be Wimby's. Like, let's just be real. But somebody that's won this award four times, and now we're questioning his heart?
I'm not questioning his heart, Rashad. What I am, everything that you just said is correct. It is hard for me to marry the ideas in my mind that that is true and that he is also a $40+ million athlete, that it has a life that nobody listening could ever want to think of or ever dream of having.
Maybe it's a job for him. Like,
to me, that's bullshit. To me, I hate that, and that's what pisses me off.
I think everybody feels
it's a
like
job. It's not it just a job.
It is.
Not
it
you,
is.
Just the people that say that.
He is lucky enough to be 6 foot or 7 foot two, and can do the things that he does, and that's why he plays basketball for a living. It is a job for him.
Okay.
When Jokic won a championship, he didn't want to go to the parade. They told him when the parade was, he was like, bro, I'm trying to go home. Like,
he actually defended Gobert. He actually said that, you know what, being a dad is first.
I want to go home. Yeah. I don't want to. I've done my job, right? I've won you a championship. Let me go home and do this stuff. Like, most of these dudes know that they are never going to be NBA champions. They were probably never going to compete for an NBA title or never win one and everything. And I think that's okay. There's some that could do nothing but compete for an NBA title because that's why they play the game. Some people, this is a job. I clock in, I clock out, and if I'm at my job and my kid is being born, guess what? I'm going. And my job hopefully understands. And so it's crazy that we have a bunch of men, that are like, man, I don't care nothing about my kid's first birth. I'm going to play in that game two of the first round. What? You sound dumb.
That's a fair point. I hear it.
Bro, that sounds crazy to me. You're going to miss this once in a lifetime moment because to watch a specific kid get born. Yes, I'm not going to be able to do this tomorrow unless I have twins or triplets or whatever the case is. So no, I'm not mad at him for missing. Again, you're talking about conference finals, game five, game six.
Yeah.
Elimination game?
That's where it starts in your mind. Okay.
I think I need you to make a decision, bro. I need you to figure out a way to get back here. Why didn't the owner offer my jet?
No, and that's what I'm saying. Jet.
Like, here, go there, see, make sure your wife is good. We'll get you back here by time the game starts, depending on if she has the baby, what time she has the baby. Like, nothing. I didn't hear anything about why didn't ownership offer up the jet, because we know every owner has one.
Well, I will say that, okay, I remember there's a situation that comes up in my mind, and I know we got to go. We're running out of time, but let me just bring this up quickly. It's hard to, I think the jet thing is fine, but at that point, you probably, to rush him to the arena, are going to need to get, like, local services involved. And I say that because there was a situation in the 2000s in baseball where the San Diego Padres traded a backup catcher, Doug Mirabelli, back to the Boston Red Sox after the Sox had let him go. He was essentially Tim Wakefield, the knuckleballer, very famous knuckleballer. Rest in peace, Wake. You passed way too soon. But he was, Mirabelli was Wakefield's personal catcher. He had like a big glove, essentially like a softball glove that like you use like out on the beer fields, but he used that to catch Wakefield's knuckleballs and had a specific tactic and was the best known at the time in the league of catching knuckleballs. The Red Sox badly needed him after the other backup catcher didn't work out. They traded for him. They wanted to get him to the stadium. It was like a 5 o'clock game at Fenway in time for first pitch. They wanted to start him at catcher for Wakefield pitching that day. They were able to do it, but only after, I believe it was John Henry, their owner, John Henry gave him his private jet to fly to Logan International Airport in Boston. But at that point, the police had to give him an escort to the stadium.
Yeah.
And they got him in got him there in time, but it was a bad look. People are like, why the hell? I love my sports, but why the hell are we using emergency services that really are needed on getting a player to a stadium?
Because there's plenty of cops. There's plenty of people.
But since then, you're right.
You know, brigade, yeah.
But since then, it has not been done, I believe, by anybody. I don't ever remember a team using emergency services to try to get a player to a field on time. If you can think of another instance on the Vancouver Ford text line, please do so. But what you're saying, Rashad, is kind of what I think should happen, but there are problems with that. Like, right. If Gobert is using a jet, he's probably going to need to get to the stadium very quick. How do we do that? That may not be legal, or we've got to kind of break some traditional rules to do that. But this is a hot debate. This is a very salty debate, and I'm glad we were able to spend a segment on it, because I'm not trying to bag on Rudy Gobert. What I'm trying to understand and really marry is the athletes making so much money, doing that and being dads at the same time, while making that money and having this privilege that almost none of us get.
So. Yeah, I mean, but that's, you know, he's an athlete, but that's, again, that's a job. Like, a lawyer is a job, and it's a dream job for most people. Broadcaster is a dream job, but still a job, end of the day. And I'm going to miss it if it's important enough for my kid's birth. So, yeah.
That's fair. All right, we'll wrap it up next on Sports Sunday on 1080 The Fan. What a beautiful Sunday, Rashad. Hope everybody's enjoying it out there. No Joe Fisher. He is down in Central Oregon enjoying some golf. And actually, we got to turn right around and get on out of here. It has been a fun show, and we're pretty much right up against it, Rashad.
Oh, man, that's usually how it goes, man.
Right?
We got a little spirited with our last little debate, eh?
It really got hot. Like, the Chauncey Billups into the Rudy Gobert stuff, that was... I feel like that was like the best part of the show, because of course, you know, everybody's, you know, watching the NBA playoffs right now. You care about which teams are winning, but when you get into, you know, that local talk and how your coach is being treated, whether you want him gone or not, and then Rudy Gobert missing game two because of being a dad and being such a highly paid athlete. Yeah, that's I understand why people absolutely hate my take, but I am just trying to marry
Jake
the ideas.
Jake the Hater was on your head, man.
Yeah,
shout out to my guy, Jake the Hater.
Yeah, I love you, Jake. Sorry about that, but I'm trying to get to those two points in my head and say, like, okay, you can be a highly paid athlete allowed to miss these important games. But Rashad makes a good point. It was only a game two. You know, maybe game six or seven would have been more impactful, and maybe he would have made a decision, or the organization would have come to him and, like, please don't leave.
Yeah, I think at that point it's a little bit different. So organization's making a call at that point.
Well, we do have to leave. We got to get on out of here. We appreciate you. Hope you're enjoying a beautiful brunch right now, or you're on your way to celebrate those moms out there. Rashad, appreciate you. Thanks for letting me take the one today, man. It
Absolutely.
Was awesome.
Good job as always.
Bro.
Happy Mother's Day to all of our mothers out there, and maybe even our, you know, pet moms. I guess you can participate at least a little bit.
I love it. We got him by the end of the show. All right. Appreciate you, everybody. For Rashad Taylor, I am Schultzy, or better known as Jordan Schultz, here on 1080 The Fan. Make sure you tune back in tomorrow, 6 to 9 a.m. Dirt and Sprague have you. And then we've got all our live and local programming after that. Danny.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
I'm Dr. Mary Claire Haver, and my new podcast, Unpaused, is the place for bold, unfiltered conversations about what it takes for women to thrive in the second half of life. Listen to and follow Unpaused, available now wherever you get your podcasts.
Coming in hot this next segment, Rashad, I don't want to upset anybody out there, but I do think that this is a conversation worth having about the Game 2 absence of Rudy Gobert from the Minnesota Timberwolves Denver Nuggets series. That game 4 will be being played today. Series continuing at 5 p.m. on TNT. The T-Wolves do lead that 2-1, but no Rudy Gobert in Game 2. He missed it for the birth of his child. Now, that is a situation, Rashad, and I guess I need to set this this conversation up like this, that is a situation that, you know, all parents, of course, it's, I believe it was the first kid for them, all parents, you know, wait for, hope for, you know, my wife and I want to have kids. That is the top, right? Like, the top situation for any parent. The birth of your child, for a lot of people, is the best day of their lives. At least, hopefully. It's what we hear. So I would assume that that is, you know, the sentiment amongst most of these athletes that are missing games. And I guess I understand when, you know, there's a situation maybe like during the regular season where you want to miss a game to go do that. I got to separate, Rashad, who these guys are in the playoffs as, like, superstar, highly paid athletes at the top of the entertainment world missing that game as compared to, you know, somebody like you or I making a regular amount of money, doesn't really have the same kind of options, can't fly on a private jet, you know, to and from anywhere. Like there's so many things that, like, as a, you know, middle class person trying to make it to see your kid's birth, it's understandable. But when you are Rudy Gobert making $41 million a year, I question it. I question that in one of the most impactful games and playoff series for the Minnesota Timberwolves in how long? I mean, did Kevin Garnett ever get them this far in the playoffs? Maybe once? Maybe twice? I hear that he needs to be present and that it's a good thing and that statistically dad's there for the birth of their kid make it so much better as a family unit. And the example that he can set for doing that is a big deal.
But
he is a superstar athlete, or at least is paid.
How dare you have kids?
At least is paid. I'm not talking about that. I'm talking about what he does for his day job. And there are some day jobs out there that, in my opinion, and that I believe the ones that are out there that I'm talking about that supersede these kinds of events are the ones where you're making not $5 million, not $10 million, but tens of millions of dollars, Rashad. He literally takes home after taxes right around 20 mil. That's not counting his endorsement deals. No, not forbid you to have kids in that situation, but you live a different life. You live a different life than all of us.
I'll be honest, man.
And I don't see it. Don't see why you would give that up. You got to be at the game and then hustle back as soon as you can. You can make that flight after the game, not before. I get that, obviously, the birth of a child is fluid. You don't know when it's going to happen. You don't know where. You can't carry your pregnant wife on a plane with you everywhere. I understand that. But on the other side of it, Rashad, it just irks me. It does. And I'm sorry. I'm a jerk, but it irks me.
Yeah, you're a little high-strung, bro.
Oh, God. I'm high-strung.
There are a lot of things that if he'd have lost a pet or if he'd have...
He lost a pet.
You know, like, if there was something else, you know, happening, but if someone would have died, we wouldn't have questioned it, right? Oh, man. Mom passed, wife passed, daughter passed.
And Brett Favre played in a regular season game 2 days after his dad.
Brett Favre cheated people out of $8 million of money.
You're not wrong.
You talk about POSs. Brett Favre is one of the biggest ones in the world. So don't really care about, you know, about that part. That was courageous. That was a great game. But doesn't really matter. Here's a guy who's pretty much done everything since the COVID thing the right way. And honestly, I think the COVID thing has everything to do with it.
Okay.
He's still public enemy number one because in a lot of people's head, Rudy Gobert is who spread the COVID virus. He didn't take it seriously, any of that stuff. He's easy to pick on. Mind you, this is a dude that's consistently been the last pick in the All-Star game for multiple years. People don't like Rudy Gobert still. And for people to bang on him for missing a game two of the NBA playoffs, not the finals, not the conference finals, game two, which, no, correct me if I'm wrong, but the series has never been won in game two.
That's so you're saying it's an earlier series game.
If
as
we were talking
like game
six, seven,
or seven.
Okay. Game, okay, like I could see you playing there, or you're on the verge of elimination, you're down 3-2. Okay, yeah, you definitely need to play in game six. You need to be there. We need to figure this out.
Yeah,
we're talking about a game two after game one they blew them out by almost 30. Game two they blew them out by even more.
No, and I do acknowledge that they did not need him to win game two.
And so I'm kind of like, people are banging on somebody for being present as a dad. for being present and seeing my, what could be my only son or my only daughter's birth. And I don't mean to go dark here,
yeah.
but let's say something weird happens.
Something
we're
bad
knocking
happens.
On wood and something happens to the baby.
Yeah.
Something happens for his wife. And he was playing in the game instead of being there with his family. That's insane to me
it's valid.
We are sitting here questioning the dude who missed game two of the semifinal round of against a team that was blown out, you know, by his team. It's like, yo, what are we talking about here? Like, I'm so confused. And now we're questioning this dude who's won Defensive Player of the Year four times, put an asterisk next to it because I think that this award should be Wimby's. Like, let's just be real. But somebody that's won this award four times, and now we're questioning his heart?
I'm not questioning his heart, Rashad. What I am, everything that you just said is correct. It is hard for me to marry the ideas in my mind that that is true and that he is also a $40-plus million athlete, that it has a life that nobody listening could ever want to think of or ever dream of having.
Maybe it's a job for him. Like,
and you know, to me, that's bullshit. To me, I hate that, and that's what pisses me off.
I think everybody feels
it's a
like
job. It's not it just a job.
It is.
Not
it
you,
is.
Just the people that say that.
He is lucky enough to be 6 foot or 7 foot two, and can do the things that he does, and that's why he plays basketball for a living. It is a job for him.
Okay.
When Jokic won a championship, he didn't want to go to the parade. They told him when the parade was, he was like, bro, I'm trying to go home. Like,
he actually defended Gobert. He actually said that, you know what, being a dad is first.
I want to go home. Yeah. I don't want to. I've done my job, right? I've won you a championship. Let me go home and do this stuff. Like, most of these dudes know that they are never going to be NBA champions. They were probably never going to compete for an NBA title or never win one and everything. And I think that's okay. There's some that could do nothing but compete for an NBA title because that's why they play the game. Some people, this is a job. I clock in, I clock out. And if I'm at my job and my kid is being born, guess what? I'm going. And my job hopefully understands. And so it's crazy that we have a bunch of men that are like, man, I don't care nothing about my kid's first birth. I'm going to play in that game two of the first round. What? You sound dumb.
That's a fair point. I hear
that,
I hear
like,
it.
Bro, that sounds crazy to me. You're going to miss this once in a lifetime moment to watch a specific kid get born. Yes, I'm not going to be able to do this tomorrow unless I have twins or triplets or whatever the case is. So no, I'm not mad at him for missing. Again, you're talking about conference finals, game five, game six.
Yeah.
Elimination game.
That's where it starts to in your mind. Okay.
I think I need you to make a decision, bro. I need you to figure out a way to get back here. Why didn't the owner offer my jet?
No, and that's what I'm saying.
Like, here, go there, see, make sure your wife is good. We'll get you back here by time the game starts, depending on if she has the baby, what time she has the baby. Like, nothing. I didn't hear anything about why didn't ownership offer up the jet, because we know every owner has one.
Well, I will say that, okay, I remember there's a situation that comes up in my mind, and I know we got to go, we're running out of time, but let me just bring this up quickly. It's hard I think the jet thing is fine, but at that point, you probably, to rush him to the arena, are going to need to get, like, local services involved, and I say that because there was a situation in the 2000s in baseball where the San Diego Padres traded a backup catcher, Doug Mirabelli, back to the Boston Red Sox after the Sox had let him go. He was essentially Tim Wakefield, the knuckleballer, very famous knuckleballer. Rest in peace, Wake. You passed way too soon. But he was, Mirabelli was Wakefield's personal catcher. He had like a big glove, essentially like a softball glove that like you use like out on the beer fields, but he used that to catch Wakefield's knuckleballs and had a specific tactic and was the best known at the time in the league of catching knuckleballs. The Red Sox badly, badly needed him after the other backup catcher didn't work out. They traded for him. They wanted to get him to the stadium. It was like a 5 o'clock game at Fenway in time for first pitch. They wanted to start him at catcher for Wakefield pitching that day. They were able to do it, but only after, I believe it was John Henry, their owner, John Henry gave him his private jet to fly to Logan International Airport in Boston. But at that point, the police had to give him an escort to the stadium.
Yeah.
And they got him in got him there in time, but it was a bad look. People are like, why the hell? I love my sports, but why the hell are we using emergency services that really are needed on getting a player to a stadium?
Because there's plenty of cops. There's plenty of people. Brigade, yeah.
But since then, it has not been done, I believe, by anybody. I don't ever remember a team using emergency services to try to get a player to a field on time. If you can think of another instance on the Vancouver Ford text line, please do so. But what you're saying, Rashad, is kind of what I think should happen, but there are problems with that. Like, right. If Gobert is using a jet, he's probably going to need to get to the stadium very quick. How do we do that? That may not be legal, or we've got to kind of break some traditional rules to do that. But this is a hot debate. This is a very salty debate, and I'm glad we were able to spend a segment on it, because I'm not trying to bag on Rudy Gobert. What I'm trying to understand and really marry is the athletes making so much money, doing that and being dads at the same time, while making that money and having this privilege that almost none of us get.
So. Yeah, I mean, but that's, you know, he's an athlete, but that's a job. Like, a lawyer is a job, and it's a dream job for most people. Broadcaster is a dream job, but still a job, end of the day. And I'm going to miss it if it's important enough for my kid's birth. So, yeah.
That's fair. All right, we'll wrap it up next on Sports Sunday on 1080 The Fan. What a beautiful Sunday, Rashad. Hope everybody's enjoying it out there. No Joe Fisher. He is down in Central Oregon enjoying some golf. And actually, we got to turn right around and get on out of here. It has been a fun show, and we're pretty much right up against it, Rashad.
Oh, man, that's usually how it goes, man.
Right?
We got a little spirited with our last little debate, eh?
It really got hot. Like, the Chauncey Billups into the Rudy Gobert stuff, that was... I feel like that was like the best part of the show, because of course, you know, everybody's, you know, watching the NBA playoffs right now. You care about which teams are winning, but when you get into, you know, that local talk and how your coach is being treated, whether you want him gone or not, and then Rudy Gobert missing game two because of being a dad and being such a highly paid athlete. Yeah, that's I understand why people absolutely hate my take, but I am just trying to marry
Jake
the idea.
Jake the Hater was on your head, man.
Shout out
to my guy, Jake the Hater.
Yeah, I love you, Jake. Sorry about that, but I'm trying to get to those two points in my head and say, like, okay, you can be a highly paid athlete allowed to miss these important games. But Rashad makes a good point. It was only a game two. You know, maybe game six or seven would have been more impactful, and maybe he would have made a decision, or the organization would have come to him and like, please, please don't leave.
You know? Yeah, I think at that point it's a little bit different. So organization's making a call at that point.
Well, we do have to leave. We got to get on out of here. We appreciate you. Hope you're enjoying a beautiful brunch right now, or you're on your way to celebrate those moms out there. Rashad, appreciate you. Thanks for letting me take the one today, man. It
Absolutely.
Was awesome.
Good job. Good job, as
thanks,
always.
Bro.
Happy Mother's Day to all of our mothers out there, and maybe even our, you know, pet moms. I guess you can participate at least a little bit.
I love it. We got him by the end of the show. All right. Appreciate you, everybody. For Rashad Taylor, I am Schultzy, or better known as Jordan Schultz, here on 1080 The Fan. Make sure you tune back in tomorrow, 6 to 9 a.m. Dirt and Sprague have you. And then we've got all our live and local programming after that. Danny and Dusty, Isaac and Sue wrapping it up in the afternoon from 3 to 7. Don't go anywhere. We got a lot of stuff happening here all weekend into tomorrow on 1080 The Fan. What a beautiful Sunday, Rashad. Hope everybody's enjoying it out there. No Joe Fisher. He is down in Central Oregon enjoying some golf. And actually, we got to turn right around and get on out of here. It has been a fun show, and we're pretty much right up against it, Rashad.
Oh, man. That's usually how it goes, man.
Right?
We got a little spirited with our last little debate, eh?
It really got hot. Like, the Chauncey Billups into the Rudy Gobert stuff, that was... I feel like that was like the best part of the show, because of course, you know, everybody's, you know, watching the NBA playoffs right now. You care about which teams are winning, but when you get into, you know, that local talk and how your coach is being treated, whether you want him gone or not, and then Rudy Gobert missing game two because of being a dad and being such a highly paid athlete. Yeah, that's I understand why people absolutely hate my take, but I am just trying to marry
the
ideas.
Jake the Hater was on your head, man.
Yeah,
Shout out to my guy, Jake the Hater.
Yeah, I love you, Jake. Sorry about that, but I'm trying to get to those two points in my head and say, like, okay, you can be a highly paid athlete allowed to miss these important games. But Rashad makes a good point. It was only a game two. You know, maybe game six or seven would have been more impactful, and maybe he would have made a decision, or the organization would have come to him and like, please, please don't leave.
You know? Yeah, I think at that point it's a little bit different. So organization's making a call at that point.
Well, we do have to leave. We got to get on out of here. We appreciate you. Hope you're enjoying a beautiful brunch right now, or you're on your way to celebrate those moms out there. Rashad, appreciate you. Thanks for letting me take the one today, man. It
Absolutely.
Was awesome.
Good job. Good job, as always.
Bro.
Happy Mother's Day to all of our mothers out there, and maybe even our, you know, pet moms. I guess you can participate at least a little bit.
I love it. We got him by the end of the show. All right. Appreciate you, everybody. For Rashad Taylor, I am Schultzy, or better known as Jordan Schultz, here on 1080 The Fan. Make sure you tune back in tomorrow, 6 to 9 a.m., Dirt and Sprague have you. And then we've got all our live and local programming after that. Danny and Dusty, Isaac and Suk wrapping it up in the afternoon from 3 to 7. Don't go anywhere. We got a lot of stuff happening here all weekend into tomorrow on 1080 The Fan.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
I'm Dr. Mary Claire Haver. Ready for honest conversations about thriving in midlife? Listen to and follow my new podcast, Unpaused, available now wherever you get your podcasts.